Well, the hymn we just sung, just a couple lines. This world is a wilderness wide. We have nothing to seek or choose. The Lord is himself gone before. He has marked out the path that we tread. 'Tis the treasure we found in his love that has made us now pilgrims below. Well, we're pilgrims in this world, that's true. But we're not left alone. We're not here as a forsaken pilgrims. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And how wonderful it is he's given us the full provision for our journey here. I was thinking, our brother yesterday brought out so lovely some of the truths involved and concerning the one body of Christ. And then today, our dear brother led us into such beautiful thoughts, ending up with the house itself and making the nice comment that when the house is furnished with the truth, the apostles' doctrine, and all is in order, when it's time for meeting, they say, let's go. You know, that's the provision, one of the provisions that the Lord has made for us down here. And before I get into too much here, I want to read a verse for myself. You may enjoy it too, but it's mostly for me in Isaiah. Isaiah 55. I need this verse. Verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So when we look into the Word of God, we can have his thoughts, guided into his thoughts through the Holy Spirit of God. But sometimes our thoughts come in, and they're worthless. And so we can all pray that we have the Lord's thoughts as we open his precious word. I want to turn to Acts, the second chapter. I'll read from verse 41. And they that gladly received his word were baptized in the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I've often thought and said, and perhaps others have a different idea, but if we had the opportunity to choose the time or period we were born, we couldn't have chose a better one than right now, to be living right now. What an exciting time we're living in. Because we have a sense in our soul the Lord's coming any moment. He's coming for us. And we like Enoch of old, will be translated into his presence. Oh, it's such a wonderful thought, such a thrilling thought. We should really come to every conference like this prepared to sit on the edge of our chairs, ready to go. It's a thrilling time to be living as a Christian. Well, the time we've just read about, it was a little different. Perhaps this was a thrilling time too. I suppose if you ask these saints that we just read about, they'd say they've been born in the most wonderful time. But it says fear came upon every soul. We sang, this world is a wilderness wide. It is. There's violence out there. There's immorality. There's hatred against our blessed Savior. But in these days we just read about, it was a jungle. as far as the Christians were concerned, they lived in fear. Paul breathing out threatenings and slaughters against the church. He sought any in that way. And this is the way it was for those that followed Jesus. They were known as them in that way. They followed the way of the Lord. They followed Jesus. Their life showed it. What I have on my heart is this thought. They continued steadfastly, and all that believed were together continually, daily, with one accord. Isn't that beautiful? All believers were together daily with one accord. You know, in Psalms 133:1, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell even together in unity." That's God's thoughts. It's lovely, isn't it? That's God's thoughts for us. It's good and it's pleasant. Well, you know, in 1 Corinthians 12, we had this yesterday about the one body of Christ. Let's just turn to one verse. I'm not going over that again, but I want to refresh our memories. 1 Corinthians 12. I believe it's verse 18, I think. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him." Now 27. "Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular." Well, that 12th chapter tells us about the body of Christ, all the members. You know, you are a member of the body of Christ if you belong to the Lord Jesus. But you're a member in particular. You're a particular brother and a particular sister. And you've been placed in the body as it pleased the Lord Jesus Christ. You're there for purpose. That 12th chapter really speaks of the body of Christ here. And I've often thought of it as a beautiful, perfect, precise machine. And then the next chapter, 13, brings in what would be the lubricant to make that machine operate properly? Love. Divine love. Everything must be done that way, and the product then is edification, exhortation, and comfort for us all. Building up the body, you know, and comfort for all the members, and encouraging one along. Well, we had that. Now, individual members and the body, too, needs to be fed. We have a new life, a divine nature, it says, and that new life has to be fed. And the food is Christ, the Word of God. The food is Christ. Job said, "I esteem thy words as my necessary food." And Jeremiah said, "I found thy words and did eat them." You know, we need this. We need to be fed as members of the body of Christ. And the Word of God's the necessary food. You may have as much as you want. I think this is a precious thought. We can have as much as we want. You can have snacks individually, and it's nice. You can take some of the Word of God and feed upon it, and it helps you grow as a Christian, as a member of the body of Christ. But you need more than snacks. You need a good meal. And we need a banquet like we've just been enjoying for 2 days and another day left, where we get fed so beautifully. Well, you know, speaking of a banquet, I want to turn just for a verse in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, second chapter. Verse 3 in the middle. I'm using the margin when I start, but from then on. "I delighted and sat down under his shadow." That speaks of my beloved, Jesus. I delighted and sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house. His banner over me, love. Well, that's where we've been brought, you know. Haven't we been living in the good of the love of the Lord Jesus? Haven't we been feasting? Because the food for the new life is the Word of God. We've been getting a fill, really. We need it. We need this. We need it with the brethren. You know, I'm coming down University, and I didn't see the building very well, so I almost hesitate to mention this, but I saw a sign on it, and I'm sure it's a restaurant of some kind. But it said, "The Beggar's Banquet." That struck my eye when I was thinking of this verse just now. You know, the Beggar's Banquet. I want to just look at Hannah's thoughts on that. Look at 1 Samuel, the second chapter. I just want to mention this, because I think that's a beautiful thought. It isn't a very beautiful restaurant, but it's a beautiful thought. And in Samuel, I think it's 1 Samuel, if we look. 1 Samuel. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. He lifts the beggar up and places them among princes. You know, it reminds me of you and I, before the Lord lifted us up, when we had nothing to pay. That's Luke 7. When we had nothing to pay, he freely forgave us all. We were beggars. We were really beggars. I was thinking in 2 Samuel 9, we won't turn to it, Mephibosheth. It says he sat at the king's table as one of the king's own sons continually. I shouldn't say sat, he ate. He ate at the king's table. He was being fed. He could have as much as he wanted. He was in the company of the king's family. He was one of them as a son. And the king was there. David was at the head. What a perfect picture it is of what we have. Now, if Mephibosheth was in the palace and could eat, but was by himself, he'd soon lose his appetite. He wouldn't want to eat much, no matter how fine the food is. I know, because I'm traveling now, and I don't have any desire to eat on the road. Lose your appetite. Well, that's the way it is spiritually. We need one another, brethren. We need one another. We need to be fed as God has provided it for us in the assembly. We need to be fed in the assembly at the meeting. Well, I was thinking of beggars. You know, Mephibosheth was not only a beggar, he was a dead dog. But those are the ones that Christ reached down in grace and placed us among princes, sons of God. I'm a child of the king. We can be fed as such at his table. Just one thought about that, the beggar's banquet. I couldn't help but think of that sign. It'll be in my mind for a long time. We're at the banquet. We're beggars. We had no right to be here. We had no right to be fed as they're feeding us now through the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God. But we've been set among princes. Isn't that precious? We're at the king's table. It's one of the king's own sons in the family. And we can eat. Well, I was thinking, there was a young man who, like the prodigal son, left his father and his house. He thought he'd go into this wilderness wide, this world, and have some fun. But he ended up a beggar. That's why it came to mind, a beggar. And this day, he got off the train that he was riding on, not as a passenger, as a cattle on the freight car. And he went through, around the station, into the street. I think it was Philadelphia, I have a right. And as he walked down the street, he tapped the first man who looked like a likely prospect on the shoulder and said, "Pardon me, mister, could you give me a quarter for a cup of coffee?" The man turned around, and the boy said, "Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And his father hugged him, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "You're begging a quarter from your own father when I've been searching for you to give you all that I have." That's how I feel as a beggar in the king's palace, you know. He's brought us onto the banqueting house. His banner, love. His banner's love. Well, I want to turn back. I want to turn to Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel. And chapter 10. You know, the Lord has a perfect plan for us, a feeding plan, so that we can be healthy Christians. and we can have healthy assemblies, because it's the assemblies, those who are gathered under the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, at the place where he has chosen to place his name at, where the testimony still exists in this world. And how precious it is. But we should have a happy testimony, a clear testimony. Luke 10. Well, I'll read from 38. Now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? My sister hath left me to serve alone. Bitter, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Verse 39. She had a sister. I'll use the other translation. Mary, who having sat down at Jesus' feet, was listening to his word. Who having sat down at Jesus' feet, was listening to his word. Now, there's something important I have in mind here. Never mind, now anyway, about all the fussing and the cares and cumber of Martha. And never mind that Lazarus wasn't here when Jesus came. He missed this. But keep in mind what the Lord wants you to know from this one verse, 39. It'll and make it good to your own souls. She hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken from her. What did she choose? She chose to be at the feet of Jesus. You know, it's a place of learning. It's also the place of worship, but it's the place you must be when you're in the presence of the Lord. And she was there at this time to take in his word. Now, we read in Acts that they were